Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm Dev Q, and my body is very upsetty spaghetti with me.
Dev's enjoying her double shifts.
Is the season to suffer.
So minus
mentally, emotionally, physically.
Minus the suffering, how has the last week been for you, Dev?
Actually, the suffering is pretty much the entire week.
Well, at least there's hot tea.
Does it have like a single marshmallow in it?
No, just the tea.
Disappointing.
Well, what would be more disappointing? Normal tea, tea with a single marshmallow, or tea with a strawberry floating in it?
I probably want to say the strawberry because at least the marshmallow can somewhat contribute to it. Once it melts, the strawberry would just be like, wow, this is a warm strawberry. This is unpleasant.
Yeah. Okay. And then, hey, new beat break to talk about. So the title, The Vanishing Cloud, that in itself is a very, not stereotypical, but it sets the tone in a specific way. And, wow, we have not seen the school since episode 2?
2?
Somewhere around
there.
Yeah,
I want to say 2.
Yeah, we get a kid grabbed by a chain. We get a floating eye. And am I wrong, or was the subtitle font different this time?
It looked a little different, but I did not pay it too much mind.
Okay, I didn't either. I was just like, for the first couple subtitles, I'm like, is this different or am I imagining it? And then weirdly, Tomorrow and Gekkomon go back to the apartment for some unclear reason, because as far as I know, they're not living there anymore.
Oh, they did say it's like he's just going to pick up some clothes.
Oh, see, I thought he said that, but then I'm like, it's weird because he has to have been gone for like weeks at this point. So if he had clothes, you would have thought he would have got them.
I mean, considering how good Tomorrow is with using cooking devices,
yeah,
he's
that's
probably
true.
Not the same with cleaning devices. So it's like, probably set some shirts on fire.
Did they explain why Hitomi was there?
Oh, she just lives in that apartment complex, apparently.
Oh, wait, she does?
Yeah, she was just wandering by and coming home from school or
some shit
like that.
Okay, I missed that entirely. And very quickly figures out Gekkomon is real and not a hologram. And figures it out quite calm. I like her being, like, looped in on everything quickly with the reintroduction.
It works really well. And also, it's like, hey, you almost died, and everyone's gaslighting you and think nothing happened.
Well, that's the fun thing. I like that they point out she definitely saw Gekkomon. Everyone just decided she was, like, making it up or, you know, unconscious.
Like, no, you're just tripping balls, kid.
Yeah. Then we jump to the rest of the gang. Maki's telling them people are vanishing. And then we get the aside that's very important for the characters, which is we now have an easy explanation for them to write Kyo out any time when him being around would actually solve a problem.
Taking a fucking nap.
Yeah.
Like he deserves.
I will say, they give us a lot of single episode exposition stuff quickly. It doesn't feel packed. It works well. We also find out Hitomi was on a call with a friend when she vanished. I like the cameras moving around as they go back to the school and, you know, we get the flashback explaining. And then the person who vanished calls digital and distorted. And then they show up and Gekkomon freaks out. I think the part that I like the most for the sort of going in part is the school bell being distorted, because every school bell you hear in anime is complete, like 99% identical.
Yep, 'tis the trope.
So getting it distorted works really well, I think.
It's like, oh no, something is in the system.
And they don't want Gekkomon because he's not a top scorer.
I'm sorry, Gekkomon, you're a dumbass. Yeah.
I
don't want Tomorrow either, but...
Yeah, I like the... At this point, we're not supposed to know the kidnapper's a Digimon, but of course we know it is, and we know it's Mimikmon. But I like it commenting that it didn't think it would run into a Digimon, which seems weirdly short-sighted when you have, like, a plan to not plan for something that obvious going out of sight.
I can kind of sort of see it. If it has access to the surveillance systems of the school. It could probably see, like, oh, there are no other Digimon here.
Yeah, but it's just me. But that's the thing. Remember, it popped out of a Sapotama, and it seems to have an idea what's going on. So the fact that a Digimon might just pop up seems like something to plan for.
Yeah. It's not very good at that.
Yeah. And I like that then we get Glowing Dawn just kind of breaks. I like them breaking into the room at the right time. And A, eye catches Reyna. Now, has she been in the episode enough that it makes sense for it to be her?
Honestly, she's about half and half, so...
I feel like, here's the thing. She's not a main character. It feels like this should have been Hitomi on the eye catch.
Yeah, but are they going to give, like, a non-partnered character a eye catch?
Yeah, well, even Chad points out it wasn't much of a Reyna episode, which does make it feel a bit odd. Now, okay, so here's the one that was interesting. Mimikmon, if I'm remembering it right, I may be mixing some of it. Mimikmon turns on the sprinklers, right?
Yes.
Does everyone get far too confused by the sprinklers turning on?
Yeah, but it's like, oh, suddenly there's water in your face.
Yeah, and Gekkomon has low E pulse. They find the Mirror World entrance. So I like that they say it's a trap and they don't care and they jump in, which normal thing, but it's fine. And then we
I mean, what else are they going to do?
No, I know. I just like...
Go back and wake up Kyo and get actual backup?
Yeah. Then we see where Hitomi and Tomura went. One kid isn't... We get the flashback about, you know, he just wanted to be number one. He commented to himself about it, could get rid of him. And that's when Mimikmon popped out. And we get the very stereotypical, be careful what you wish for.
It just feels like Ghost Game.
Yeah, although I will say, I like that he points out that he tried to stop Mimikmon, and that's when he got sucked up.
And then he just sat there being a little bitch the entire time.
Yeah. So, one weird thing. Did it ever... So, everyone inside Mimikmon is getting cold-hearted except Tomura, right? Is it odd that he was sucking up E-Pulse from everyone except Tomura?
Well, it looked like Tomura was also getting, like, frozen up a bit, but it's just, like... Like,
see,
from the bottom up, but
see,
it just...
I thought at first he didn't, which is why he started to grab... Which is why Tomura grabbed the chain, because he wasn't attached at all, I thought.
I thought he was still, like, just hanging there and just reached up higher.
Maybe. And then when he gets the energy, we get the very... Look, it's stereotypical, but it still works. The give him so much energy that it's messing him up.
And, yeah, it's like, let's fresh fly this bastard.
Yeah, and then one of the... nice recurring bits in the show that I actually like is Gekkomon being able to tell whose energy is whose by smelling. And
it was adorable.
And he swings in to grab Tomura, and he instantly falls, but then he charges him up. We get Mimikmon cracking apart, and then he's back to being a baby. They kind of forgot to actually like have a proper fight, which I can't decide if I like or not.
I mean, I would have liked an actual fight, but...
So what's interesting...
Maybe they're just trying to showcase, like, okay, Tomura's E-Pulse is kind of absolutely fucked.
So what's interesting, and Chat points out, you just point out, they say it's not that he's overloading him, it's that the E-Pulse is glitched and causing issues. He definitely was overloading him also. Like, we were even getting the little percentage thing where he was sucking up too much and wasn't able to stop. It is kind of both. Like, it is glitched, but it is also very much just Digimon like his energy, and he wasn't able to stop, sort of. Yeah. And then they catch up. The baby runs off as Tomura falls asleep, and the ministry shows up. And we get the sort of speech about glitches will be erased. Tomura doesn't like that. He wants to go back, and Reyna stops him because there isn't much they can do.
And also, it's like, hey, Tomura, please don't reveal the highly guarded shelter full of babies.
Yeah. And I like that then we get the good morning stuff from Hitomi, and she comments how everyone just believes what they were told rather than the truth. And the other kid wants to pretend it never happened. And they give us the little key bit of he wants to go to the Shangri-La egg someday. And then
some like terrifying meritocracy.
And here's where it gets a bit weird and interesting. So Tomura, he thinks that's boring. He flashes back to what Kyo said in the last episode. Then what the ministry member said, and Tomura leaves and he like, doesn't belong in the school anymore, and the Glowing Dawn members are waiting for him. Which, that all makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong, or does the actual framing suggest that Tomuro has actually been going to school each day? Which, I don't think he has. Like,
it feels like he hasn't, but he just kind of got dragged in when...
No, I mean, like, the whole speech, but, like, the whole thing about, like, oh, it's not the place for him anymore. Like, that framing is like he's still been going, even though everything else would suggest he hasn't. Like, they wanted that little moment, but the moment wasn't actually set up for, is my issue.
Yeah, it's like he definitely wasn't going to school.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We're kind of in the weird position of another mostly solid episode, but it's still kind of meandering and doing not much of anything outside of like 10 seconds an episode. Like, we get important stuff, but
zero evolutions for any of the characters.
I'm not super worried about the evolutions, minus that nothing else is happening that would like replace it. See, and like, I don't even like, in chat's giving the real answer, which is lore building, but it doesn't really feel like it's really lore building when most of it is like 10 seconds at the end of an episode, which is winking at stuff we've already been told. So it's one of those weird things where like we don't even really get framing on if... we don't even like get framing on if Hit... Like, if we'd gotten set up, is this it for seeing Hitomi? Is she going to be recurring? It, like... We're not getting anything out of singular episodes at this point is the issue. And like, even chat's like, oh, they broke a record. And I know what Iron Fist is referring to is it's the longest in not seeing the main character evolve. But they're not doing anything with that time that makes it worthwhile to not show us.
Yeah, it's not like it's Bun.
See, like, if they don't have him evolve, if there was interesting story stuff happening, it would be fine. But it feels like... It's just wheel spinning. Like, they're not having him evolve because they know we're waiting for him to evolve. Not because, like, if they were showing us important stuff, I wouldn't care. But it feels like, not teasing, but like, the expectation is the main...
Just kind of like pushing it back and pushing it back for some sort of merchandise reason.
See, I don't think it's merchandise. I think it's purely like framing of... Well, this is the expectation, so we have to subvert that. But the problem with subverting it is you have to do stuff with it. And minus, was it episode 2? They haven't done anything to subvert or to even suggest that something else is happening. It's just not doing it. And it's weirder when any time there's a fight, Wolvermon's there, Pristimon isn't. There's no evolution scene, there's no... And, like, in this episode, they skip the battle scene entirely. Like, there is no battle scene. And, yes, I know there is fighting in the episode, but you know what I mean with at the end.
Yeah. He just stood there while it powered up and got exploded.
Yeah. Yeah. What's funny is, a bit earlier, AR put up his review, and I think the last couple lines kind of, like, frame how I'm feeling, which is, he talks about the, you know, gives what he says is, gives a haunting glimpse of the Ministry's power, but again, they're just reminders and nothing we don't already know about them. Seeing it in action and feeling the emotion behind it counts for something, but don't pretend the show took a big step forward here. That's kind of how I feel, where like the show wants us to think it's doing neat stuff, but it's not actually doing it. It's like the suggestion that there's something cool, but it's stuff they've already told us.
It's like, please stop with the drip feed. Give us cool shit.
Yeah, you can do drip feeding, but you got to show us first. Like, I liked getting information about Kyo. That was neat last time. But now it's like, I feel like we're giving the episode extra credit because Hitomi showed up.
We all love Hitomi.
Yeah. And then here's the thing. Next time is where if it does not move something forward, I feel like we'll actually be upset because it's them going into Shangri-La with the episode Utopia.
Yep, and it already looks creepy.
Yeah, that's where, they need to show us stuff. So for guest stuff, Mimikmon was played by Amy Matsushima. She is the voice of the Sapotama. Hajime was Masamu Ono. He was Fly Beamon in Ghost Game. Yuto was Fumoto Tsuji, who's just bit roles. Eiko, the friend who vanished, was Mayu Kimura. She had various roles in Ghost Game. The most interesting thing is both her and the actress who played Mimikmon both played a Yuki Daruman in Ghost Game.
That is funny. They're snowman pals.
And like we said, next time is Utopia, which hopefully that is where some stuff will move forward, because it feels like it has to after they keep talking about the Shangri-La egg, and now they're going to have them sneaking in there. So we will see.
Hopefully.
One second here. And then for next, we get 2 pages of interviews in V-Jump. Very basic interviews, but very nice and cute answers with the actors who play the Digimon.
Yeah, so it was fun. It's like, I like cool Digimon.
Yeah. This is one where I think everyone needs to read them for themselves. They're short, but it's too much to really go over. But the answers are quite good. I like the questions, though. Tell us your first impression of the Digimon and its partner. Tell us about your favorite Digimon and your memory of Digimon. And please give a message to V-Jump readers. The answers are all good, though.
They are short and cute and very heartwarming.
Yeah. We got various previews of episode 7 artwork. We get some revision artwork from production supervisor. And then line art of the scene of Kyo and Kugurumon from towards the end of episode 7. Which, did you watch that? It's really good.
I didn't watch the animated part, but I just looked at the stills.
Yeah, I would very much watch the animated one later, because it's really good. And then Liberator... Man, I really don't know what to think about the Liberator web novel at this point. Like, so we get four chunks.
It feels like all over the place at once.
Yeah, we get the four chunklets. The first chunklet is everyone's coming together. Like, the whole rock concert thing, when was the last time the rock concert was made? Like, I know that was important for a chapter, but am I wrong? Was that like 2 months ago?
Time is weird with Liberator, because sometimes I can't remember what was like in the web novel versus in the comic, and sometimes when I read the comics, like, wait, did I miss something?
Yeah,
like, no, they didn't.
Yeah, that's happening to me too. But it feels like, and then they jump to Altea. It's like, oh yeah, he's still in prison. I like the stuff with Mistymon, where Mistymon sort of admits to playing the role.
I also like the accompanying art, so.
Yeah. Then we get to see the other side of that with everyone finding Pangeomon. The weird thing is then they jump to like having flashbacks with Impmon and Yuki. And they've been such a minor part of this year of the web novel. I don't know like how to feel about that.
It's like they were basically the mascots, and now they just kind of drag them out in random spurts here and there.
And then 24.2, we get... So this one has a lot. So we get a flashback to Altea playing a match against Mistymon. Then we get the explanation of how that happened. Mistymon has Cool Boy's deck, learn to play. Then it swings to the current stuff with Mistymon finally asking for help. We also get a good... I feel like the only reason we got that flashback with Yuki and Impmon in the chunk before this was to remember how Yuki acts for here. Then we get... We swap back to Cool Boy and Dalphamon. I like the idea that Dalphamon really doesn't know where things are going to go, and Cool Boy sort of just has faith in Yao and the people she sent.
Yeah, it's a good alternative to like whatever holy deity type Digimon's like, oh, the hands of fate will...
Well, that's...
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's where I think it gets interesting. It's weird because like I'm not a huge fan of all the chunks today. Or the chunks from the newest one. But the last one I like, where you have the god thing doesn't have faith and thinks it just has to happen that way. And Cool Boy, who's very much portrayed as the dry and like believes in nothing but himself, has the faith in everyone else. I like the sort of opposition to the idea where the god thing does not have faith and the person who you would think wouldn't does.
Juxtaposition.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, so then I believe this week is more the comic chapter of Owen and Zeno battling, which I don't know what I'm going to think of that, because
as long as there's some unhinged flirting, I'm I'm okay with that. See, I'll find that entertaining.
See, the issue is, for me, is 99% of Zeno's stuff feels like they want us to go, oh, that Zeno, we knew him so well. And no. And then anniversary. So 27th anniversary of V-Tamer. Doesn't it make you feel old, Dev? Yeah, that's
so
where
fucking old.
That's where Digimon as proper multimedia begins. Like, it had other stuff, but this is like really where the plan starts to come together. So V-Tamer, 27 years old, still fun.
Damn.
And then here's where like when I posted it, almost all the messages on social media elsewhere are people who really start feeling old when they hear this, is Tri is 10 years old. Because that's the weird thing is it does not feel like Digimon has been, like, properly back that long. And when you think Tri is release and lengthwise, it's 6 movies. We've had 2 sequels to it. So in the last 10 years, we've gotten 8 movies.
It feels more like it should be, like, 7 years old, maybe.
8 movies, 3 full TV shows, a 4th TV show's on. We've had a card game for half a decade. We've gotten half a dozen or so proper console games. It does not feel like it's been 10 years. And yet there's been so much stuff, like when you think about 6 movies and 2 more, 8 movies in 10 years is insane. More so, the 8th of that movie came out 2 years ago. So that means on average, we ended up with a movie a year for 8 years. Now, obviously the schedule came out much quicker for Tri, but you get what I mean though, right?
Yeah, there's just constant
stuff. Yeah. And in chat, they're wondering, are they movies, though? I mean, look, they're OVAs, but they are movie length. They came out in theaters. They are movie things. Like, they are feature length. Hell, 4 of them got theatrical releases in the U.S., which is wild to think about. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's just insane. And we were going to get Kizuna in theater. We didn't. We got the beginning. The beginning in theaters was nice.
It was really fucking badass.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is hard to think of that being 10 years. Like, really weird.
Old.
Yep. And then, while Black Friday is not till later this week, am I wrong? Or, like, you remember, like, 10, 15 years, like, 15 years ago, it was like, sales would start after Thanksgiving, like, Thanksgiving night, and people are like, that's too early for Black Friday sale. And now they're just going a week or two early.
Yeah. It's like, I understand why.
Yeah.
Especially being balls deep in retail.
Yeah, I also have to imagine it is nice for the sale, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. It has to be nice for the sales to just already be going and not to be like the mad rush Thursday or Friday, right as the holidays are happening.
Also less dangerous for employees because people would get unhinged.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. With sales just kind of ongoing, I have to imagine you get a lot more people just streaming in and not deciding this is the time when I have to go.
Yeah, I mean, we still have like massive fucking wraparounds and lines and
everything,
it's not like dangerous.
Yeah, even in chat, someone's saying it's so much nicer now just having the early sale period. So I tracked down some Digimon stuff. I was going to do toys, and then I decided I would die.
Yeah, don't bother.
Yeah, so what I did was I tracked down the best prices for the Blu-rays. I tracked down the best prices for the games. I think the sale on Time Stranger ended, but some other sales are still going. I would say the best deals right now are the first movie set is $18 at Amazon in a few places. The upcoming movie set is $24 at a few places. Tri is $48 at Amazon for all of it. Kizuna is $18 at Amazon. The beginning is $16 at Amazon.
Nice.
And then games. So Digimon games are a bit harder to parse because there's a decent chance people already have them, but Time Stranger is on sale at various places, generally for around 50-ish or a bit more. If you don't have any Digimon games, Green Man Gaming has the best sales right now. They have Cyber Sleuth for under 5.
Oh, yeah.
Survive for under 9. And Next Order for under 9. And as for
great
toys,
deal if I didn't already have them for about the same price. Yeah.
And then for toys, like I said, I decided I couldn't just like skim every toy place, but I did look around and I found one figure to suggest as a gift for people. The original Soft V-Mates Agumon, the one from a year or two ago that was a bit bigger, Big Bad Toy Store selling that for under $20.
Good deal.
Yeah. I decided that was like, because, you know, I started looking at V-Pets and I'm like, am I really going to like find the best prices for V when a lot of places are just sold out? At some point, I have to just go, this is enough.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do in that case.
Yeah, I figured Blu-rays, games, and one figure is the best I could do, honestly. And then more game stuff. So for Time Stranger, we got a clip of Blitzgraymon, which that is a nice model, I will say.
It is very cool and badass looking.
Crescurumon. Am I wrong? Does Crescurumon almost look more almost cel shady?
Yeah.
It's weird. It doesn't quite fit the vibe of a lot of them, but I like it still. And then,
yeah, I guess because in most of the art, it's like they really put emphasis on like the gold armor, but it feels more like
outliney here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Matt Piscatella, who's an analyst at Circana, who does market research, sales tracking, based on the October 2025 U.S. market, he said, and he points out he hasn't followed Digimon that closely, so there, you know, there's stuff he doesn't know. He believes this has generated the most dollar sales in the U.S. for any Digimon game. Now, that's definitely good news. It's not as good as some people think, though, because, one, the game costs significant more than a lot of Digimon games. And two,
also, there's a lot of versions of it.
Yeah, it also skips over, like, for example, that's not going to mean it sold more than 2.5 million copies, which is where people are like, oh, Cyber Sleuth sold this, so this one must have sold more. No, because a lot of those were sold for like $5 or, you know, what he's saying is dollar to dollar, this sold more, which is very good. We need a number from Bandai. I assume the reason why we have not gotten a number yet is they're waiting for a specific large round number.
Yeah, that was my assumption. It's like something that they'd be proud to parade around.
Yeah, it's sort of like they waited half a year to announce that Survive hit 500,000, and then we haven't heard anything since. So I think they're expecting a nicer, bigger number, and they're waiting for it. And yeah, like just said in chat, end of the year rounder. That's what I expect. I expect they're waiting for near the end of the year where they'll say 1 million or 1.5 million. Or as someone else just said in the chat, there could be a Bandai. They may be waiting for a Bandai quarterly numbers thing to wait.
Additionally, trying to see how high are the numbers they can milk after like the holiday season of like people getting it as a gift and whatnot.
Well, the other asterisk is waiting to say that till right when the DLC is coming out as like hype.
Like, it's so good. Please buy our DLC.
Yeah. Because, man, a lot of people really thought Digimon was going to be like up for Game of the Year at the Game Awards. And no. Yeah, Dev, your reaction is about what I expected. Like, here's the thing. Yeah. It is a good Digimon game. That is as good as it is.
It's a decent game overall. It's my friends have been playing it. It's entertaining.
Yeah. It is not special if you're not a Digimon fan. And it at times, I'm not even 100% sure it's special outside of, oh, we finally have like a big Digimon game again. I am curious to see some of the DLC stuff, though. Yeah, and even chat dev. Chat is pointing out your favorite game that came out. Silksong.
Yes, it's like, if anything's going to get Game of the Year, it's probably Silksong or Expedition 33.
I think 33 has like more nominations than any game ever did for that award show. I think. I could be
and
wrong.
And they also deserve it.
Yeah, and then we get the profile art for Zwart Defeat. That is some cool fucking art with the crossed arm thing.
Yes, and like the bulging eyes on the War Greymon and Metal Gurumon heads. It looks fucking unhinged. Yeah.
And Dev, do you want to know the absolute scariest part of this Digimon?
Are they going to make like another figurine?
No, it's funny. Are you ready? So when we talk about, okay, this is the new Digimon game. He was introduced in the last 3D Digimon game.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that's how long it's been since we've had like a proper size 3D Digimon game. He's from the last one. It's been so long that him showing up in a game feels special.
Oh, damn.
Because Survive wasn't 3D, and the last new game before that, since they're pretending Hacker's Memory isn't one, I'm going to pretend it's not either. That means Next Order is the most recent 3D game, and that is what introduced Zwart Defeat.
I'll say I keep forgetting Next Order exists.
I do also. I feel like since the quality of life of the current of the Switch and PC version, I feel like some people have revised their thoughts to think, okay, this is decent. Because here's how it feels like everyone thought. The PS Vita version was miserable. The PS4 version was, it's not good, but it, like, if you want a Digimon World-style game, okay. I feel like it's more positive now, especially since, like, the running in the current version was added.
Yeah.
But it definitely, world does fall aside next to story nowadays, it feels like.
And the world that I really, really want, they still will not bring over.
They will give us more Terrymon Assistant Lab, though. So this time we get three episodes. We get going to New York Comic Con on a fact-finding mission. They talk to fans, ask them about how they feel about Terrymon Assistant and more. And multiple people who are from With the Will got interviewed in this.
Hey, I didn't actually watch that one. I should go back and
The weird thing about this one is they did not add English subtitles for the non-English parts of this one, even though this is the one you'd think you would have the biggest English audience because they're actually at an English event.
Yes.
And then Terrymon, then we get a second one. Terrymon Assistant battles his greatest foe, a crane game with Digimon figures in it.
Look, that's one enemy that we cannot defeat.
And then the third one, we get... this is where they don't have anything, so it's predictions, and also it's Terrymon Assistant's predictions for Beat Break, and also him doing sketches occasionally. Did you see his sketches of what he thinks Gekkomon's evolution will look like?
Yes, and it is horrifying.
Let me link chat. Yes. And he's also
the most amazing artiste.
Well, also, the weird one is the second one. I'm not sure if this is a different prediction, or if he's just drawing Palmon from Time Stranger. Because it feels like the swinging Palmon, doesn't it?
And it swinging. Does, but also it kind of feels like an octopus with fire coming out of its head shooting lasers.
Yes.
And also, their handwriting is worse than mine. Significantly. Oh my god.
Oh, it's worse than mine too. And then, Dev, do you remember Digimon Source Code?
Oh yeah, that thing that existed and then it didn't, and then it existed and then it didn't.
So let's go over the actual history of Source Code. At the end of 2021, we found it exists with CGI renders. And we also got an art piece at the beginning of 2022. A few months later, the game's social media page was updated, and it sounded like the game was canceled, and the official website vanished. A few days later, those tags were changed. Apparently, it was they were ending an alpha test, and they decided it was too early to have website marketing up.
Okay.
Then midway through 2024, we got story updates, video clips, renders new and old. They opened a new site. They took beta registrations. And then, weirdly, in the middle of November a year ago, they announced the game would launch in early 2025. And announced that one of the things we went was I'm not sure there's an audience for this game anymore because it feels like the audience for this game is playing New Century at this point.
Yeah, because it took so long in production hell.
Yeah, so this feels like developers like had the rights to do it and just like were stubbornly going to do it. And now it's gone. Yeah, so there were some data leaks of stuff that might appear, but it was never clear if those were actually in the game or just like standby stuff. So we'll see what might pop up somewhere else, but we'll see. It's not really a shock this is vanishing. Some stuff that goes away tomorrow, like downloading the game and registrations for those in China. And 2 months later, the game will close. Do you like how the close message doesn't even have art? It's just text, and they've added a filter.
Like, bye, bitch.
Yeah. And then bigger game news. The recently announced O2 collaboration with Puzzles and Dragons is live. And
the artwork is so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's so good. And as far as I can tell, they brought back all the adventure stuff also. Yeah, so
honestly, I just love looking at the details on like the D3s and the villain artwork.
Yeah, it's weird. I like it because, especially with the D3s, because at this point we have like three proper D3 designs. Because we have the original, we have the industrial ones from Trine, then we have the sort of upgraded, not upgraded, but like where they kind of cleaned up the designs a bit for the beginning.
Yeah, slightly more detailed.
Yeah, where these are very much these are like the original anime, but they feel like they kind of use the shapes a bit from the beginning.
Yeah, they're a little more oval, a little more egg shape.
Yeah. One thing I like, we get to see the various outfits the kids wear in the show. Like, I believe that is Ken in his winter gear that he has, like, in the, you know, the sweater with the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that they do all these, like, the Hikari ones look great.
I really like Miyako's winter outfit, too. It's so cute.
It works really well in that image. The funny thing is Takaru with the sailor vest.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the... adorable, precious ex-Vimon who is sitting like a puppy.
Oh, the gacha pull thing.
Yeah.
Then we also get the various other armor forms. The villain ones are all really nice. Like, Blackwork Raymond's done really sharply. Oikawa I like, because does it feel like a number of art in the last few years tries to have him a bit softer in the face?
Really slow. It's like, oh, by the way, he wasn't really a bad guy, so...
I think the funniest one here, though, is... So, to some degree, the characters are always aimed at the camera. But if you look at Mummymon in his Digimon mode, where he's firing in a completely different direction, but also trying to stare at the camera. And we even get Wallace and Terrymon gets him. Am I wrong? Or have they drawn, like, Terrymon, like, puffier?
Yes, he looks so squishy.
Okay, good. I'm not imagining that.
But then again, he actually kind of was like that proportion in
the movie
Hurricane Touchdown.
Yeah, he was. But the problem is the the art style here does not match that. So it's like disparate in my head. Because it is the right proportions, but it's like they're trying to make him look like not like the show, but like that modern art style.
Yeah, like that, like the anime plus you see in like the card game.
Yeah. Like it works for Wallace. Because he kind of just looks like they've pulled him out of, like, a show that he was never in. But you can just go, okay, Wallace. Terrymon, he's, like, 5 degrees off from how I expect Terrymon to look. So my brain just goes, what'd they do to him?
My boy.
Oh, my God, I know what it is. Okay, are you, one sec. I'm going to link this in chat because they need to see. Okay. So if you look at Terrymon, think about Tommy Pickles. Where, like, the head is just slightly, like, looks like he's going to tip over because of it.
I understand entirely.
Okay, so that is running now until December 8th. Last time, a month or two later, they did the event in the U.S. for the English version of the game, so do not be shocked if this shows up.
Actually, right now, I'm just really excited for the artwork of Kaiser's glasses, so.
I like that they do the little side and item art. That works really well. And then, if you want to be really confused, so we knew they were going to do a collaboration with the game Free Fall, which none of us knew existed until they announced the collaboration, even though it's apparently very popular. Did you see the trailer where it's two butterfly, they use Digimon imagery, and they also have Digimon-themed guns and vehicles?
I kind of want that gun, though.
So here's the thing. I think that'd be like a neat toy. I'm never playing this game. I just have neither the time nor the inclination. I have no idea if it's good or bad. I just am not going to play it.
It'd be like a fun, like, Nerf gun or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Cardpocalypse begins. So for Starter Deck 22, we get a reprint of Physical Training. I like seeing Harrismon and Pulsemon. Remember when they were important for a short time?
Yep.
Taumon Ace, this is a reprint, but with gold foil. Looks nice, but we've seen it before.
Yep. It's still very nice art.
The Rookie Rika card, this is just a straight reprint. This is when they started doing better art in the cards for anime characters that weren't just adventure. I mean,
yeah, the anime plus style.
Yeah. Then for Starter Deck 22, they announced what the sleeves would be. They're the blue card, which that is a great idea for sleeves.
I want them so fucking badly.
I only have one issue. If you're going to do the set of 60 blue sleeves, you should include 5 for the eggs that are red.
Red sleeve?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Then this is the card that when people saw, everyone freaked out, which is, so for some of the starter decks, they would randomly swap out one card with an alternate one. They did a very nice of Renamon with the same art as the normal one, but with a gorgeous themed background and gold holofoil. The card looks insane.
Oh, I fucking love this. The textures and everything are just...
There's even been a number of people who pop up going they don't like when they do the card with the same art but a different background, but it looks so pretty they actually like it.
I want the thing.
And then to Boots at 24, Agio Chumon. This is from his initial evolution scene in the game. Looks very nice.
It looks cool.
Very glowy. Greymon Blue and Metal Greymon Virus, both shown as their pseudo boss fights from the game.
Also, I love like the matching pose.
Yeah, that's what I like. Also, where it's not exactly the same, but it matches enough where you can tell. Like you get Greymon with both arms up menacingly, and Metal Greymon has his down in his own menacing way, but where it still feels like they match.
Yeah, it feels like an evolution sequence. Yeah.
And then we get Gurumon sleep, trying to sleep, and Where Gurumon looking over the horizon. Both very nicely done.
Puppy, it's just me. I'm so fucking tired.
Then we get Mercurymon slash Marukimon. The normal on his throne, and the parallel, which is action attacking art.
It feels like it should have like a metallic texture to it.
Yeah, that's the one issue I have with some of these, is showing the normal and the parallel at the same time feels like it sucks a bit of energy out. I would assume and you're right, this is one where they should add a holo or a foil. It feels like they'll save that for a special parallel card, though. Even though it really feels like it would benefit this one.
Yeah, just the style of the art would work really well with it.
Then we get a tamer card for Dan and Kanan. First one, we get kind of basic anime profile art, which we've gotten for a number of game characters lately. And then, okay, so that one's fine. What I like about the second one is it's not the poster shot. It feels like it's based on it, though, on that key art that we got.
All the partners are just kind of there.
Yeah, like inspiration's been taken from that key art image, even though it's nothing like this. I just really like it. It looks so good.
Also, the lighting is so nice.
Yeah, I love the moon in the background also. Or the digital moon thing. It's good. In Between Theater, not super exciting because it's also like near the where you enter it. I've seen a number of people wonder if maybe this will get parallel art focusing on the clock, which I won't comment on why for people who haven't played the game, but that would be a good shot. And then the big surprise is... we get the starters with Pukumon slash Bukumon and Gomamon by Naoki Akamine, who drew the Atmon manga and the Hacker's Memory manga. These are so
funny. Why is that Gomamon giving bedroom eyes?
I took it as smartass eyes, and it's just the weird angle he's at for dying it, making it look that way. This is so good, the art, though.
I like the little sprite, though.
That does help. And then that was followed up with Ikakumon, who gets a, like, very regal art.
I went to eat their art skills.
God, it's weird to think that in a year or so, he will have been part of the brand for 10 years.
Stop making me feel old.
And then Parrotmon. Parrotmon is a nice shot based on the boss fight. I don't have much to say here. It's nice.
Well, it's swooping down.
Locomon. Locomon's interesting because it's clearly going to the Guardian Palace, which is, I don't know if it was one of the first shots or the actual first shot we saw of the game. I think one of the first shots, because I think we saw the explosion one first. But we see this from a wide angle for one of the first shots, and it's neat as a close-up. Very nice art of Locomon also. And then earlier today we get Plotmon slash Salamon and Tailmon slash Godmon. Hanging out in Central Town. I like these.
I want to take a nap like the puppies.
Although I will say, does Gatomon's head not quite fit on the body right for you?
It feels like her left cheek kind of overhangs her body a little bit more than usual.
Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure if I was imagining that. I'd like the art still, though. Also, the very nice texture on it.
It's very soft.
Yeah.
Very nice and diffused.
Then we have all the card images from Starter Deck 22, Advanced Deck Set Amethyst Mandala, and also Limited Card Pack 6 Billion Bullet. All of these we've had previews of before, but now we see people keep trying to do stuff with the cards, so now they're putting sample even on the ones from the website where they used to do lower resolution clean ones.
Bastards.
Then we get a 2-page spread from V-Jump. Nothing super exciting or new, mostly just going over the starter deck, the new booster set, and some card events. And then, also in V-Jump, it is time, Dev. The first Beat Break plushies are the Otodamas.
Yes.
Okay, so to go over these. So first up, can we just point out how hilarious it is that Tomorrow looks upset?
He looks so angry.
Yes.
And also, Geckomon looks more deranged than usual.
So it's funny, with Geckomon, am I wrong? Or does the, like, spines, which that's definitely in his design, but do they not look right in this sort of mini plushy form?
I would have to see the side profile, but from the front, it looks like, oh, it's Gammamon, but green. And on.
Okay, I would say Reyna looks good. Pristimon looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so Trotmon looks good. Am I wrong? Or does Makoto look kind of generic?
He does.
Kyo also looks generic, but in a more fun way. And yeah, Chad, sorry to point out, Marasimon looks amazing. Am I wrong, or does he look a bit angry?
He looks disappointed.
I will give Geckomon credit, though. You can easily imagine him going blep.
Okay.
So those will show up December 20th, and they will also show up the 20th and 21st at Jump Festa in December.
Nice. I hope we get some more images of them from, like, different angles.
So, generally speaking, when they come out, they do the whole body, not the whole rotation, but the different angles. Like, they give us the 6 faces of a cube.
Yeah, so, I just need these from not just the front.
Yeah. Then they also announced puzzles. So, a 500-piece Beat Break puzzle based on the key art. And a 300-page puzzle based on character art. I don't think we've seen this character art from that puzzle, have we?
Not the second one does not look familiar.
Okay, that's what I thought. Those will be out in December. And the 500-piece one's a bit under 20. The other one's under 15. They also show off the 25th anniversary O2 Ojimajo Doremi event. They show off the Puzzle Dragon, and they finish with Cherrymon Assistant just going over the Olympus 12. That is a lot of Beat Jump.
It's nice that we're getting more of it lately.
Yeah, and then, so, recently we found out they're going to do a second series of Pulbako model kits, and they've now announced the first series will come out in Japan in April.
Convenient.
Yeah, so easier to get. Although, bless them, yeah. I love that they're showing the silhouette of War Greymon, and, like, this is the secret one. It's like, yeah, I'm sure it's Black War Greymon, just like it was when it came out in China. Like, at this point, I'm not sure why you would keep that a secret. These have been out for a while. Okay, Dev, if you had to pick one of these, which would you want?
I really like the Metal Garurumon.
Normal or metallic?
You know what? Fuck it, metallic.
I think I like the clear Omegamon. Minus that, does it feel like that plastic is going to yellow horribly?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
also, I kind of like wouldn't care for that one just because I already have like. Do I have like an NX? No, the NX Edge Omegamon.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, this does look NX edgy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's like the same proportions, except not quite as cute, but also cheaper.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Then poll results. Favorite glowing Dawn Digimon from Beat Break. Trotmon won by a couple percentage over Geckomon. And then you move down a decent bit, and Marasimon's a few points above Pristimon. Honestly, I think you called that Trotmon would win.
Yeah, because obviously Trotmon is the best. Especially with that artwork. He has, like, a really good design.
Yeah, I don't think there's any surprise here. It is interesting how, like, 1 and 2 were right next to each other, and 3 and 4 were right next to each other. There aren't any losers in this one, I would say.
Also, I feel if Murasamimon was, like, Cougarmon,
he'd be higher?
I would have ranked him. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Cougarmon has a more pleasant design.
Yes, and has, like, the more, a kitty kind of vibe.
Yeah. And then moving on to the weekend batch stuff. So first up, Ayumi Miyazaki posted photos from being at Mendotaku in Argentina. He said a great 2 days. He thanked everyone for came, said he'd come back. Then shortly after, he was off to Thailand for NEX 2025. He apologized that due to the schedule, he was not going to take any Thai-like photos like he does for many countries just because of the schedule. He also showed off some photos from the autograph schedule.
He's so jet lagged.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, those are only 2 days apart. And one of them is literally like, ooh, going home. And then immediately, like, out.
Yep.
But he looks energetic there with the fans and everything, which is, like, the time when you want to be over the jet lag. Yeah, so you do got to feel bad for, like, him running around, though.
Oh, yeah. It's like, no rest.
Then we get a few clips from the UK pop-up, which is running for a bit under a week. So if you are there at Birmingham and Camden Market, so time to go if you want to, because running out of time.
Go raid the gacha machines.
Yes. And let us know what you get at the gacha. Then we get a photo from the recording of Card Room for Card Battle. Sayaka posted a photo with Megura and Chiba, pointing out it's her long way to come back. She was the one who, when they started doing the card battle episodes again, it was pointed out that she was on hiatus from live performances, so she wasn't gone, but she wasn't going to show up for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
I can't tell if she's wearing a bow or cat ears.
I believe that's cat ears. Because, like, if you zoom in and look, I don't really see, like, the edge of the bow. Like, it's like cat ears, like, on the top of her head, I think. Then we get card game art of, I like Owen looking pleased with himself, and Shoto's just there doing clap, clap, clap.
He's so happy for his friend.
And Owen's smug. Then Seiho, who does the art for the Liberator web novel, every time they do art for the for chapters, I love the ones this time. I like the card game one the best. Like, having to draw Mistymon, like, looking very serious about a card game.
It's time to duel!
Yeah, he does give off Dark Magician vibes, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
And then Usagi Bochi drew Yuki and Cool Boy, showing the sides of both. I actually really like this one. I only really have one issue with it. Do you know what that is, Dev?
Text?
No, it's actually, if you didn't know that was Cool Boy, I think you could argue that was Shoto and his eyes were shadowed out.
Actually, looks more like a pirate eye patch than anything.
Moving on from that, we get Beat Break art from Takira Kojima, who's the character designer for Beat Break. Did some nice art of Hitomi. Although, does she look like plotting here?
It looks like she knows something that
yeah.
We don't.
And that's really not the vibe of the episode. I'll take it, though. It's interesting, but, like, that's not, like, Hitomi in the episode.
Also, that background looks like it belongs in a children's hospital.
Oh, just, like, the random paint splotches?
Yes.
And then we get art for the 20th feeling old again, Dev. The 20th anniversary of the Digimon Mini. They point out...
Oh, my God. I remember the first time I visited my partner in Texas, and we went to a convention... And I found a random Digimon Mini on the floor. And because no one claimed it by the end of it, I ended up taking it home.
So, 20th anniversary was November 22nd. And Dev, would you like to know why you found it? They actually point out it's still the smallest and lightest Digimon handheld. And it's designed to be used as a strap on a bag, which in a crowded convention is very easy for the... Because it's one of the cheap ball chain
ball
ones, right?
Ball chain, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It, like, if someone walks by and, like, moves the wrong way, that thing's coming off. And then Dev finds it in
like
a convention.
Like a pen in a bag.
Yeah.
At a bank.
Yeah. Like, the funny part is, we have no idea how that happened. That's almost certainly what happened, though, huh, Dev?
Yeah, because there weren't even, like, Digimon... events at the... It was just, like, a little dinky convention that like a beach or something, and just it doesn't even exist anymore.
I always forget how small these are. Look, these are tiny. And then moving on from the Digimon Mini, it's time for questions. Chat, you guys can throw yours up. Ones that were sent out. Someone asked, does Time Stranger being well received help us get any older games ported? Anything doing well helps in with anything and everything. It kind of goes back to the same thing of, we know they're aware of it, they've told us. It's just how they're going to do it and what.
Yep.
Dev Stark asks us, what's your comfort food? Something easy and reliable and satisfying.
Rice.
Trying to think, like, comfort. God, I feel like, for me, it has to be something stupid, like, just like a basic thing of ramen that you can just make really quickly, eat, it's warm, noodles, broth, it's just easy.
Also, you can't go wrong with rice, especially with the amount of the seasoning that I just, like,
rice is always good. Yeah, right. Just rice with some butter sometimes is nice, or just throwing on a bit of soy sauce or teriyaki sauce.
Laura's furikake seasoning.
Oh, that's the one I forgot to tell you. A number of people recommend putting that on popcorn right when it comes out, Dev. Or did I tell you that?
Quite a few. Yes, you did.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mentioned that I literally keep a jar of that shit in my bag.
Yeah, I was going to say, at first I'm like, okay, I haven't told Dev this. I just remembered it. I'll tell her. And then once I said, I'm like, I think you said that you have like multiple things of it ready to go.
Yeah, I have like 4 or 5 jars of it in the spice cabinet, and I use it often enough that I just keep one in my bag, so if I go and have lunch out somewhere, I have seasoning with me.
Okay, the next one is, can you explain what was going on with Mark talking about tonic water on social media? So, Dev, I believe I told you what was going on with this, didn't I? Okay, yeah, so let me tell you a story. So, I check Woot, which is, you know, online discount store, as you do. They have interesting stuff. I look. They're like, oh, pantry stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll see if there's anything interesting. A lot of stuff sold up. There's a few things, like a few snacks. And then they have Zevia brand tonic water. I'm like, I haven't had Zevia stuff in general. Haven't had tonic water in a while, but I'll buy it. It's like, you can only buy the can and limit 3, but it's like a couple bucks. And I'll get that with the snacks. I mean, so, okay, 3 cans of tonic water.
Yeah, why not?
So first up, the snacks ship separately. So the idea that I was just going to get, like, one box of stuff and that would be it? Okay. Snack shop. And then the next day, or later, or the same day, I forget, it says the tonic water was delivered, but the tonic water was split into 2 packages. One has 2 cans of tonic water in it. One has 1. The 2 can one has arrived. So I go, giant box. I pull out the box. So I open the box. First thing I pull out is a 6-pack of tonic water. Okay. Then I pull out a retail case of tonic water with 4 6-packs. This is 2 cans. Then I'm like,
yeah,
wait.
Two cans.
Then I'm like, wait, what's going to be delivered tomorrow when it's supposed to be 1 can? The answer is another retail case of 4 packs of 6 cans. Now, Dev, would you like it to be even funnier?
Yes.
Last night, someone links me to Woot going, if you want to take a risk, lemon-flavored sparkling water by the can, limit 2. So I'm like, fuck it. I will order 2 cans and see what shows up. Nothing has shown up yet, but we will see.
Is it still in? Oh, okay.
It has not shown up yet.
But also, the photos of the other things that showed up was, it looked like a shit post.
Yeah, that's. So we'll see what pops up there. But yes, it was literally just, I ordered 3 cans because that was the limit. It's like, okay, I haven't had this in years. I haven't tried it from this brand. I'll get it. And I ended up with like 54 cans. The question from chat, Dev, how many Digimon keychains do you have?
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, that's my response. I don't know how many keychains I have because I haven't gotten any recently, but I've definitely gotten some at times.
Look, every time I go to an anime convention or artist alley, I guarantee we'll scour it from top to bottom, looking for anything Digimon related. And more often than not, it's going to be like some sort of little acrylic keychain. It's like, oh, it's Gabumon or Tailmon, these characters that I have cosplayed. I will purchase this item. And then it goes into a little case in a basket in my room, and then I forget about it.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, I do the same thing.
I don't know how many right now. I want to... Oh, God. And then I just remembered the figural keychains, the blind bag ones.
Oh, God, I forgot about those even existing.
Where the Agumon looks like a Goomba.
That's the one where they sent me, like, the retail case to review. So I have, like, stacks of those.
Yes, I also have stacks of those.
I forgot those existed. Despite us making the Goomba joke as much as we can. Goomba.
Yes, so I have... I'm going to say, after all these years, the number is somewhere in the several dozen.
Yeah, it feels like that's the correct answer for me also, but I honestly don't know. Then someone said, how is buying from Premium Bandai USA? Any issues ordering Digimon stuff? For Premium Bandai USA, it's basically just a normal store, honestly. Like, there's nothing that weird dealing with them, is there? I'm trying to think.
I haven't had any problems.
Yeah, I mean, Premium Bandai USA is pretty easy. I'd say the only thing to remember is that since it is specialty stuff being shipped, if they say... Oh, it's going to ship in March. Expect March or April, because a lot of times that has to do with international freight shipping, which once there's a delay there, it's not going to be a day. It's going to be a week or a month. But I haven't really had any issues with them that I can think of.
Yeah, I've ordered stuff, and sometimes I forget because it's pre-order and it's a long-ass while. It's like, then again, occasionally, oh, your thing has shipped. Like, oh! That thing.
Yeah, and you get that notification 6, 7, 8 months later. It's like surprise at that point.
Look, my memory is shit at the best of times.
Okay, then Meta Knight asks, what will happen first? A new form for Gekkomon, or they'll review how many copies Time Stranger sold?
Definitely how many copies Time Stranger sold.
I feel like that's the right answer, unless it drags past this year. Because, like, feels like if they don't give us a Gekkomon form by the end of the year, then they're taking the baiting and teasing a bit too far. So it depends what Bandai's actually waiting for Time Stranger, but I feel like the correct answer is Time Stranger. And then someone asked, are there any deals we are trying to find for Black Friday sales?
Not really, because I think I got most of the things me and my general family members need ahead of time.
Yeah, I've tried doing it this year. I mean, I suppose, technically speaking, you could say the tonic water was a Black Friday sale. I don't need tonic water for a while now. I've got a few games. Like, Steam started a Black Friday sale, which I haven't bought anything there, but we'll look. There were a couple movies on sale I did buy a week or two ago. They had... The Accountant 2 and F1 on 4K disc for like 13 each.
Neat.
Yeah. Yeah, so nothing super exciting. I don't think this is the same as one last time. It skews close though. Dev, favorite Thanksgiving food?
Stovetop stuffing.
Yeah, it's weird. Thanksgiving food really isn't my type of thing. I would say it probably would either be stovetop or just like rolls or something. Thanksgiving food just isn't my type of food, honestly.
I really like turkey in general, but also stovetop stuffing is fucking amazing, and this is one of the only times of the year where I can realistically get away with eating a disgusting amount of it several days in a row.
Last chance for questions in chat. Dev, are there any games that you think that Digimon would fit in a collaboration and you would want to play it if it did? See, the second part...
Colorful Stage.
Which one's that? Is that the Umamusume one?
That's the Hatsune Miku musical one. So you could easily have, like, Digimon songs in it and then throw Miku in some of the outfits she's had in, like, the previous Digimon collaborations.
Yeah, it helps when there's already a series of Miku Digimon stuff.
Yeah, I feel it would work really smoothly.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like... See, I feel like the issue is the, and you would want to play it if it did for me, is trying to think, like, what type of games would get collaborations that I would actually play, and,
Well, I kind of got the thought, because when I was playing, this rhythm game up at the Gacha Arcade that just opened, it did have Butterfly on it.
So, oh, that's neat. Yeah, I feel like the play thing is where I would kind of fall, because I don't think I've never played many of those games. There's been a few occasionally, but not many. I'm trying to think, like, I don't know, honestly.
I just really like rhythm games, even though my wrist does not.
Yeah, I when I was younger, I liked rhythm games. Then I got older, just like, no.
Like, I still greatly enjoy them, but my body's like, nope, you're not doing that. You're
Digimon themed, like, Tetris effect levels. That would be a collaboration I would play. then, do you think there might not be a digital world in Beat Break? I feel like the hinting so far is that it's the third digital world, Shangri-La. Like, doesn't Dev, do you think that's too obvious at this point? Like, do you think that's hedging that something else is going on that?
I don't even know or care at this point.
Just because they haven't done anything to make it matter so far?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it will matter when it matters. At the moment, it's all just like, they've said Shangri-La, therefore, it's probably Shangri-La. They haven't really done anything with it yet. Or Shambhala, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, and even in chat, they've been saying, yeah, it has to be Shambhala with how much they're hinting with it. See, I'm getting so used to saying Shangri-La because the egg, I said the wrong one like 5 times there.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Chirapmon for...
his victory.
Sweeping the others. Absolutely.
Yeah,
no, celebrate.
That's a good one.
Precious Bat Baby.
Okay, let's see. Happy Thanksgiving for anyone going anywhere on Thursday. Have good food. Hopefully you can find some sales. Hopefully it's not getting dozens of cans of tonic water.
Or getting stampeded in a retail setting.
Yeah. I assume, like normal, I will do what I always do after Thanksgiving, which is I will pile up extra game keys and give them to members of our Discord as early holiday gifts. So thank you for showing up. We will catch you next Monday. Thanks again for showing up. Catch you all next time. Bye.
Bye.